Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, A-State well represented at the Paris Olympics this past week. Pretty cool what Cameron Newton-Smith was able to do. We'll talk about that. Also, the basketball schedules are out, and soccer season officially begins this week. But first, we're going to talk a little football and welcome in somebody that doesn't get the credit he deserves. So we decided to have him in studio. The senior deep snapper from Chandler, Arizona. Hello, Jack Bullard. How are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, thank you guys for having me. This is awesome.
I'm glad you're here. And one thing that we wanted to correct right off the bat, and we mentioned this during the kickoff party, you're one of three players that were here under the previous coaching staff. So it was Dane Motley, Travion Thomas, and you. It's you three, the only three left on the island, right?
I think there was four. I think Austin Woods.
Austin Woods, Austin too. Woods. All right, so four now.
Yep, four. There's not many left, yeah.
What's it like to be one of the veterans on this team? Man. The old veterans.
Old veteran, man. I've been here for a long time now, and just to see like how the team's changed, looking at when Coach Jones came in at first, and, you know, seeing the birth pains of a young team and unexperienced team full of transfers and not very connected football team, to see where we started and where we're at now, it's a big change. You know, looking at our guys that were younger and that are now older, I mean, the maturity and the growth that they've made and the leadership role that they've taken on, it's been awesome to see and be here, you know, every step of the way for that.
How do you do that? It used to be there was a run of guys in Arkansas State football history that we could sit and talk with about. They played for a different coach every year. And, you know, honestly, I think some of the only football players in college football history that played for five head coaches or a group of guys that came from Arkansas State. But now in your era, I would be more interested in asking, what's it like to play in this thing where from year to year, the roster is so wildly different, where even though there's a core group of guys back, there's going to be 60-something new dudes seemingly every year. What's that like?
Sure. So every year the roster is different, and having Coach Jones here now going on our fourth year, seeing the players that have come and gone, we've been able to, you know, kind of weed out the guys that don't fit our culture. And, you know, Coach Jones wanted to get a lot of guys from high school. You know, I think we realized that getting a whole bunch of transfers sometimes can be hard, and building a foundation of young guys and doing it the traditional way, coaching these young guys and seeing the growth that they make over time has been amazing. And I think that, you know, with a lot of, you know, it's, I think it's just with any program, a lot of people end up just coming and going, but I think we adapt, and we accept having a bunch of new guys on our team for sure.
All right. Mentioned Chandler, Arizona. Tell us about your family.
Yeah. So, you know, my parents are together. I have a younger sister. She's going to Arizona State this year. I have a beagle back home. She's 12 years old. She's getting old. She's getting there. But yeah, small family. Love them. It is hard sometimes being far away, but I think since I'm not in driving distance, of course, you know, coming to Arkansas, it taught me to, there's a healthy relationship with being far away, because I really, when I go home, it really allows me to appreciate being around them more.
What other sports did you play other than football?
So when I was in high school, I strictly played football. Once, like as soon as I got into my freshman year, I dropped basketball. When I was younger, I played soccer, but my mindset is I knew football was my strongest suit, and I wanted to focus strictly on that. I almost got into track, but I never really committed to that. So yeah, football since the beginning. And I honestly, I think that worked out the best for me. I'm sure if I played another sport, that'd have been cool too, but ended up working out.
All right. So the statute of limitations is up, and you don't have to implement anyone specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But because you just said what you just said, I want to ask. You went the route of specializing in one sport.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to that point of making that decision by yourself, or were you nudged that direction from somewhere?
No, I made that decision myself. I mean, it was always a dream of mine to play college football, no other sport. So I knew, for me at least, just being able to focus on one sport alone, that really allowed me to lock in. If you play another sport, you're going in the off season, the football off season, and playing other sports. So you're not really able to spend time specializing in that. And for me, it allowed me to train specifically football stuff and long snapping. So it gave me more time to specialize in what I do.
So you go to Corona del Sol High School,
mm-hmm.
tight end and defensive end, right?
Yep, that's right.
Played both of those positions. Yep. But you talk about concentrating on long snapping. Mm-hmm. So what makes you try that to begin with? When did you realize that was something you could be really good at?
Okay, so my dad, so when I was younger, I've been playing tackle since I was 7. And when I was younger, I was a little bit bigger. So they put me at center. And when I was about 8 or 9, my dad came up with the idea. He's like, look, if you're the center, the coach is most likely going to make you long snap too. So I've been snapping since I was in 3rd grade, but I didn't start taking it seriously until about high school. Once I got to around my sophomore year, I started realizing, I was like, okay, if I really lock into this, I might be able to do something with it.
All right.
I want to kind of take it's almost like a detour, a deep dive into long snapping.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it's got its ups and downs.
I want long snapping 101 here.
But I want the psychology of it, because the upside is, like, there are some rules in place to keep you from getting knocked around. That'd be a pro for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The con is, by and large, it seems to be a vocation where people are only going to know your name if you screw it up.
That's right. Yeah. So when I was learning long snapping and when I started getting good at it, the idea of no recognition or only recognition if you did bad didn't really cross my mind. As a specialist in general, snapping, kicking, punting, there is a lot of pressure when you take the field, because you understand that you only have one shot to go out there and do your job. And everyone knows the result immediately after it starts. So if you have a bad snap, everyone knows. Bad punt, everyone knows. Bad kick, obviously everyone knows. So being a specialist is definitely different. And being a long snapper too, you're the one that starts the play, right? So if you don't have a good rep, right, you affect the other specialists. So it's definitely a lot of pressure, but I love it.
You line up. Just take me through your mind during a typical play.
Okay. So we get the call on the sideline. We run out. And the first thing I think of is my stance. I get in my stance. Stance should be the same every time. And then I tell this to our younger guys all the time, because I did not always have this mindset. Being a specialist, you can't think too much. If you start thinking too much, you're most likely not going to get the result you want, because it's being a specialist is all up here. It's all in your brain. So you should only be thinking about one thing. And for me, it's the grip of the football. So long snapping 101, right? Your dominant hand on the ball should be kind of how you throw a football, kind of like a quarterback. So when I get down, I grip the ball, and then that's all I think about. It's like, okay, as long as I get my grip set, then it's time to let it go.
Fingers on the laces?
Yeah, fingers on the laces. If I had a football, it'd be a lot easier for me. But I think my pointer finger and my middle finger off the laces, and then my ring finger and my pinky are on the laces.
And that's a one-handed deal?
So two hands. So the other hand, a lot of people, it differentiates. I go pointer finger on the seam and then on the football. So like on your dominant hand, the one you're throwing with, your thumb kind of wraps around the top of the ball. So your bottom thumb on the other hand, so the left hand for me, would be kind of making a triangle. You kind of make a triangle on the football with your hands. And like I said, some people go middle finger. For me, pointer finger has just been more comfortable. That's how I grip the ball.
But so one of the little interesting things I caught out of that is you use the phrase throw it.
Mm-hmm.
The hand, your dominant hand's the one you throw with.
Mm-hmm.
You consider that? I don't know, a lot of people see what you're doing and say, oh, he's throwing it.
Are you saying throw it kind of like a quarterback?
No, I'm just saying that you use the word throw, and mm-hmm. I don't know that Joe Blow would use the word throw.
Sure. So like for me, when I'm down there, like I said, you don't really want to be thinking a lot. So all the practice reps that we get, you want to treat exactly like a game. So the less you think, the more you're able to subconsciously do your job. And for me, So fun fact, shout out Drew. He's a transfer snapper from Akron. We went to the same exact high school, and he's also a long snapper. I've been telling him, I'm like, look, try not to think too much, because at the end of the day, if you subconsciously do what you've been trained to do and you trust your technique, the ball is going to go exactly where you want it. So that's why I tell him, just get your grip or whatever works for you. Think of that one thing and just throw it. Let it rip.
Is it kind of like a pitcher, though, in baseball? So, and here's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
You want consistency. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to, through repetition, be able to snap it the same way every single time. But are you also trying to improve velocity on your snaps?
I think that with your form and with your technique, the velocity comes. Some people throw the ball harder than I do. Drew, the snapper I just mentioned, he throws a faster ball than I do. It's all kind of just based on your technique. Everyone's different, right? People in basketball are going to shoot differently. I'm sure pitchers are different. It's the same like quarterbacks. Quarterbacks throw different. Everyone has their own way of doing their job. So velocity, sure, you want it to be fast, but again, if you really trust what you're doing, the ball is going to get back there, and for the most part, it flies.
All right, so you ask a pitching question, I'll ask a golf comparison. Mm-hmm. When you start, I mean, like, dude, do you have like a natural ball flight? Do you have a little cut, little fade, little draw?
Yeah, with snapping, depending on how you release the ball will determine how the flight of the ball goes. So for a snapper, you want the ball to be as linear to the punter as possible. You want it to be a straight line.
Yep.
Because if the ball, let's say the nose of the ball on the way back starts coming up a little bit, if it's windy out or something happens, right, where there's a little bit of adversity, you can't pierce the wind. It's not going to get the same speed because of the surface area that's catching the air. So you want it to kind of be as straight as possible, so that way it's the fastest speed.
And then another golf sort of comparisons, we've seen it happen. Think about a TV game involving a couple of league teams where guy just got the yips. He couldn't get it where it was supposed to go.
That's what's hard about being a specialist, because everyone's not going to be perfect. No one's perfect, right? You're going to have reps that don't go your way, but being able to bounce back, that's ultimately what makes a specialist great, because you want to be able to let the last rep go if it doesn't go exactly how you want it to. If you have three back-to-back reps, even if it's not snapping, punting, kicking, there's a mental block. There's something there that you're holding on to that you're not letting go, because we're at this level for a reason. So there's talent, there's technique. You are good at what you do. You're on the field for a reason. So for the most part, I don't really see that happening. It doesn't really happen with a lot of people. But I definitely understand that idea. Like, it could happen. I'm not saying it couldn't, but yeah.
Who's quirkier in that room? I mean, because I think you ask all three groups, you're going to get three different answers out of kickers, punters, snappers.
When you say quirky, are we talking personality here?
Right, just as a rule.
Sure. I think historically in our room, at least since I've been there, the punters have definitely been the quirkiest, for sure. They've definitely been the most different, but it's always been good. It's never been bad. It's awesome. I love our punters.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, and most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Visiting with A-State deep snapper Jack Bullard here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. You talk about the specialist. You guys are pretty much always together, right?
Oh, that's right.
Tell us about just hanging out with these guys and what that's like on a daily basis during the season.
I love our specialist group. I've always loved our specialist group. I think you can even ask the guys that have left our program. We still have great connections with them and relationships with them. Our group has always been super strong. Coach Jones talks about it all the time. He says, don't walk around in pairs, walk around in packs. And if you ask anybody on the team, I promise you, they will always be like, okay, the specialists are always walking together. We love each other. And I think that's what makes us, that connection between the group makes us effective on the field. We've had a great history of specialists at Arkansas State, and I definitely think it starts with the room.
It's an interesting room this year, too, because you went into last year and you knew Dominic Zavada was going to be your mm-hmm. place kicker. You knew that William Pristup was your punter. It's an open competition
right.
during camp. I'm sure it's a little bit of a different vibe right mm-hmm. now. Talk about how those guys have done to this point.
So I think that our guys do an amazing job at not letting the competition part ruin friendship and ruin the relationships that we have. At the end of the day, they're going to play the guys that they trust the most. It's a me versus me mentality. You're not competing with them. You're competing with yourself. And I think these guys, since the first day of camp, have done such a great job at improving 1% every single day. Even me and in the snapping group, we are looking for ways to get better every single day, because like I said, you know, before, when you touch that field, there's that one shot, one kill mentality. You have one chance to go out there and do your job. So the more we can improve and perfect what we do, the more likely we're going to get that outcome that we want.
I'm speaking in generalities here, because like I said, there are competitions in both those kicking spots.
Mm-hmm.
So if the coaches come to you for your take on that competition, then what, not specific to the guys we got now, but just mm-hmm. in general, sort of what sort of unique input can the snapper provide them as that competition goes on?
So a spot that we don't talk about a lot is the holder. So mm-hmm. when it comes to field goal, for the most part, we've had a punter holding. I think if they were to come to me and ask me who I'd want, it'd be who I feel most comfortable with. But then they'd also have to go ask the kicker, because I start the play, right? I can have anybody back there, but the holder has to do their job in order for the kicker to be able to do his. So with the punting job, I mean, I've never really had a real preference. I mean, just snap the ball to the guy, you know, put it on him. But I think for me, for the most part, if there was a position that they were to come up and ask me about, as in like my preference, it would be the holding job.
That makes sense.
I didn't know we were going to get into the holder, but I'm glad we are. There was a time in the past where a lot of teams, and there still are teams that do this, maybe it's the backup quarterback that is the holder. But you mentioned the specialists are always together. And you guys, if you're not going through something live during practice, you're on the side practicing on your own. Well, the quarterback can't always be there for that. I've noticed in the time that Coach Jones has been here that it's been a punter that has been doing the holding mm-hmm. chores. And I'm guessing the availability of you guys being able to practice together and kind of get that vibe, I'm sure helps you a lot.
Exactly. During a game, right, the quarterbacks, if it's not the guy that's on the field, it's the other guys helping with signaling or helping out with something on the sideline. When we have, you know, our punters on the sideline and we get into field goal range, I mean, obviously, we don't need to punt. So having them there available allows me to get ready, get a few extra reps. And yeah, you know, during practice, they're doing a lot of other things. And with the time that we have, you know, the specialists, we kind of make a joke, like we have indie period all practice. So being able to get reps with those guys all the time allows us to get a rhythm down. And I genuinely think that that's what makes us so effective on both punt and field goal, because we spend so much time together. We get so many reps together that it builds trust, and that trust allows us to go out there and not think as much.
All right. So we've talked a lot of deep snapping here. And I love it. I'm glad that we are. I'm happy with the way this conversation has gone to this point. But there's something else that we wanted to get you in here to talk about, because you have kind of a unique field outside of football mm-hmm. that you've dived into at Arkansas State. And you've already graduated. You got your bachelor's in nutrition and dietetics.
That's right.
I want to hear about that. What's the end goal for you?
So for me, first of all, I chose the degree because outside of football, right? Football comes to an end. Even those guys in the NFL. My dad makes this joke all the time. NFL stands for not for long, right? So you're going to have a backup plan or some other... There's got to be something else afterwards. And for me, I like to think I'm an active guy. And I really wanted to learn about food and how it affects the body and stuff like that. So it was kind of honestly like a selfish reason for getting into it. And then I started realizing in my field that the clinical area, working in the hospital, wasn't for me. But I always knew in the back of my head, and I still think this way, that becoming a sports dietitian one day would be awesome. Just to all never get away from sports. I understand what these guys go through, even if it's not football, right? Like athletes, there's just something different about them, and fueling an athlete is, it's different. And being able to be a part of other athletes' progress when it comes to nutrition, that just always really interests me.
So what's your guilty pleasure?
I'm a mixture of, you know, salty and sweet. You know, I think if we're talking sweet, cinnamon rolls, those are like, those are my thing. A heated cinnamon roll with a glass of milk, I mean, you cannot go wrong with that. And then salty, my favorite chip is a Dorito. So those are probably my two go-tos on both sides.
Coach Jones, for anybody who's been around him over the last 4 years, knows just how detail-oriented he is. And one thing that he's talked a lot about since he's been here, nutrition and diet of the players.
Right.
So have you had conversations with him about this?
I haven't, but once I started really getting into my program, so I got into the program my junior year. So, you know, your first 2 years, for the most part, like whatever degree you take, it's mostly just courses that don't really like make sense with what you want to do. But once I got into my degree, I started realizing and understanding the deeper meaning by eating different foods and incorporating different foods into your diet, and kind of like what it looks like for an athlete to kind of balance your plate. But also athletes, they need a lot more carbohydrates than the normal person. And I think for just anybody who doesn't really know about nutrition, even athletes still don't really get it, that you need more carbs than you think in order to gain weight, keep energy and stuff like that. So I've definitely noticed it a lot. And, you know, we have Coach Carter. He's the one that takes on the nutritionist role, and he does a great job telling us about, you know, what we need to do to fuel our body. And I mean, our strength staff does an amazing job keeping up to date and researching stuff in order to keep us in the best shape possible.
You've already done a lot of work in nutrition during your time at Arkansas State. And I know that's made for some very long days for you.
For sure.
Look, being a student athlete, so many times balancing schoolwork and everything you got to do with football on a daily basis, that's a lot. But even more so with your schedule, trying to now get your master's in this. So what's a typical day during the season like for you?
So now it's going to be a lot different, because now I won't have my clinical rotations anymore in my master's program. So I'll just be taking online classes, which is a lot nicer. But last season, let me tell you, that was a grind for sure. For the most part, it was Tuesday through Thursday. I was rotating every 5 weeks between hospitals. And you were there from about 8:30 to 2:30 every day, having to go straight from work to practice and make that switch in your brain that's like, okay, it's go time. Like, we got to get ready for football. That was definitely hard for me to do at first, but I definitely think a lot of the stuff that happened last season, not football wise, but just like with my schedule, allowed me to really appreciate my time off. And it actually allowed me to appreciate football a lot more, because it allowed me to kind of take a mental break. And like I said, like I don't really want to think too much when I go out and play football. I just kind of want to do what I do. So it made me really, really fall in love with football more.
You mentioned you'd like to be a sports nutritionist at some point, be in the world of athletics after football, but I'm sure you want to keep this football thing going as long as you can, right?
Yeah.
NFL, a goal of yours?
Yeah, for sure it's a goal. I think that it's important to keep the main thing, right? Like, of course, I want to play football after college. I really want to do that. But my parents raised me really well, and I know that I need a backup plan. So still taking my school seriously is also a priority of mine. But yeah, the next level, getting a shot at that, that'd be a blessing for sure.
Do people draft snappers, or is that usually just to go the camp route?
So I'm glad you asked that, because as of this year, that I know of, NFL is not inviting specialists to the combine anymore. However, they're making a like specialist combine for just specialists, and the NFL scouts, they will attend that. So I'm not too sure the reasoning behind it, except for the fact that you can now get more specialists to this. It allows for more opportunity for other people.
So you will get a look.
I hope so, for sure. Yeah. If I get invited to that, I for sure will. That'd be great.
Right. In the meantime, you got a senior season to play.
That's right. Gotta lock in.
This team has a chance to be the best team you've been on since you've been here. So how excited are you?
Man, I can tell you firsthand watching our team play, a veteran team compared to what we were in 2021, the experience, the leadership, the excitement, the juice, I mean, everything's there. And I think that our guys know the hype that we've been producing, you know, and we know that there's a lot of excitement around town, but we're trying to focus on UCA. UCA is obviously going to be a challenge for us. We're not thinking it's going to be an easy game by any means, but I am so excited to see our team this year because we have so much talent, and I think this will be the year that we put everything together and have an amazing season.
Big news off the field for you in the off season, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I did get engaged to Maggie Turner. That was an idea I had in mind since about January. I had to hide all that process from her, which my gosh, that was stressful. but I was able to pull it off. Yeah, I'm not too sure. You know, we haven't really, you know, we're both really busy, so we haven't really figured out a date for the marriage yet, but it's coming. So yeah, that was exciting. That was awesome. And I will tell you that I was extremely nervous.
More than a game?
Yes. Yeah. More than a game for sure. You know, you get those butterflies in a game and you go out there for your first play and everything's good. But my gosh, you know, I knew she was going to say yes, but there's always that 0.001% in the back of your brain, you know. But yeah, I was nervous. I just wanted everything to go how I planned it. So.
Well, you did great because Maggie's a great girl.
That's right.
And a part of the Red Wolf Foundation.
Yep, she sure is.
Has been a dancer at A-State as well. So you guys certainly have A-State ties for the rest of your life.
Yeah, we got it written on our forehead for the rest of our life, proudly.
Well, we're proud to have you here. And congratulations on all the success to this point. And good luck
this
season. Can't wait to see you out there.
Thank you. I'll be looking for you.
So. All right. That's Jack Bullard joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact, spelled impactclub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Hey, congratulations to Cameron Newton-Smith, former guest of this very podcast, former Sun Belt champion in the heptathlon. In fact, she did that just a year ago. She was wrapping up her career as the outdoor champ in that event. And here she is just over a year later, completing her first Olympics, representing Australia, and had some good showings in all seven of those events, and just couldn't be prouder of her.
Yeah, you know, I had a conversation a week or so ago with Matt Vining, who was her coach here at Arkansas State, you know, about Cam and what a successful Olympics would be like, and he sort of laid some things out. You know, if XYZ happens, she'll have a good week, and I can just say those things happened, that she performed well. And here's the thing, like, she's you don't take anything for granted, but I think the thing you said that hopefully is the truest of all that was when you said her first Olympics.
Yeah.
Because she's really won and maybe even two Olympics away from like being in the athletic prime of someone who does that competition. So, I mean, she's on the young end going against, you know, seasoned pros and veterans. So great experience for her. Great to see A-State back in the Olympics. And like I said, hopefully see her in L.A. in 28.
It's also that time of year where basketball schedules are being filled out. We've told you over the last several weeks a lot of the non-conference games that the men have added, but the schedule's now complete, and that schedule includes 15 home games, 6 non-conference home games, which include the likes of Akron, Little Rock, Stephen F. Austin, Jackson State, and UTA. There's also a Division II on the schedule in Lane College, which is located in Jackson, Tennessee.
So what should be the takeaway there? If you're an Arkansas State fan and you see Lane College is on the schedule in the 2024-25 season,
that nobody wants to play you.
Ding, ding, ding.
Games are tough to get.
Because,
and Coach Hodson has talked about just reaching out to everybody.
Well, and even before that, even before we knew how last season would go, we walked right in the door talking about not having a real appetite for playing non-D1s. So when you see one on the schedule, you know there were not a lot of other options.
Conference play actually begins before Christmas this season. That's rare. That hasn't happened in a long time, but it will actually happen at home December 21st against Coastal Carolina, and should have some really, really good conference home games this year.
You saw the schedule this week. Before we got to the weekend, you also saw a release. There's got to be, and I understand this is not always the case, I just want to make sure if you're listening to this podcast, you understand it's the case this time. You've got to operate with a little sense of urgency. Because if you don't have your season tickets right now and you say, I mean, I'm going to get them and I'm going to get me some lower level side, you know, on either side season tickets, there are fewer than 200 of those left.
Oh, wow.
Lower level sides. Fewer than just about 500 lower level total is all that's left.
It's a good problem to have.
It is. So if you're listening to this podcast, you do it with regularity and you're still listening, it means you didn't just listen for the interview, then I don't want you to miss out. So get those season tickets and be sure you know you got that taken care of.
The women's basketball schedule has not been, at least at the time we're recording, has not been entirely released, but the conference part of it is, and thought it was interesting. There's actually a stretch from January 30th to February 15th, late in the year, where we play 6 consecutive home games. But then on the flip side, that means you're going to have to finish with 4 in a row on the road. And look, there's going to be some stretches where maybe you have 4 straight at home, 4 on the road during any particular season. But to see those back-to-back isn't always the case.
Yeah, and the 6 is, that's a really big number. And that's going to include the MAC Challenge home game. So 5 straight conference games and a MAC game in there in that stretch. Their schedule is finished. It's not like they're still looking for games. There just were a couple of contracts, I think, on some non-conference games that weren't in yet. So really, policies kind of don't put those out until they are. But they're coming off a year, unlike the men, where, they played 17 home games. They played a school record home games last year. So that a lot of that's home and homes that you got to flip and reverse and return. So they won't have it as many non-conference home games as they did a year ago. But their schedule's set. And if it isn't out by the time you're hearing this, it's coming shortly. And I would say that to say this, we talked about season tickets there. I want to remind people that with one push of the button, you can get a season ticket for volleyball and women's basketball together for $99.
Yep.
So you save some money in the process. Go to astateredwolves.com/50years, and it'll take you right to the page to buy that combo season ticket.
In the meantime, our first sport is going to officially begin this week, that being soccer. They played 2 exhibitions last week at home, and they're going to open up the season at home. Coming up on Thursday, they'll host Little Rock, 4 o'clock start time for that one. And then Sunday, they'll take on Southern Indiana, another home game. In fact, the first 4 games this season are at home.
Yeah, we were talking, internally, that K counting their exhibitions. They'll play six matches at home before we get to a home football game, or really a home match and almost anything else. So a lot of home matches early for Coach Dooley. I got to see them a little bit in their exhibition opener. Of course, we talked soccer last week here on the podcast a lot. Excited about them and seeing what they do, and hopefully can make hay here with an early bunch of home games and get their season off on the right note.
Hey, thanks again to Jack Bullard for coming in. Appreciate Jerry Scott setting that up. Jack's just a great young man, and excited for him going into his senior season. And we kept the conversation going after we were done recording a while ago. We actually started talking about him as a tackler.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. You brought it up. He does have four tackles in his career, but he talked about how he really wasn't covered as a deep snapper, covered during coverage until last year against Oklahoma. And he said it was quite the awakening when it did happen.
Yeah, he says first couple of years, he got to just run free, right? He was just, as he said, hot on the ball. And then after a couple of years of film on that opponent, starting with OU last year, said, not so fast, Jack Bullard, and started dedicating someone to block the deep snapper, which, you know, as we talked about with him, is not as much fun for him because you just don't get to pin your ears back and run toward the ball. But there is sort of a badge of honor to that, in that opponents have seen you do that enough, they want to dedicate someone to you. And then there's a bit of a strategic win because now the opponent had to dedicate someone to you. And that's one less person to go block somebody else.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to that. But Jack is really good at his job, and look forward to seeing him and his teammates August 31st when they open the season at home against UCA. That's going to wrap things up for us. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.